All right, everybody, welcome back to the Bio Bros, episode 7 on all streaming platforms. This week, we're going to be talking about quarantine for both plants and animals, how to quarantine, when it's time to quarantine, what you should do, kind of all that kind of stuff. Remember to follow us on all social media and all that. Everything's going to be linked in the descriptions of these, so just go down there, find those. So, quarantine. We all went through quarantine just a couple years ago, and should your plants and animals? Depends. There are times you don't necessarily have to, but you should. It's a good practice to get into for biosecurity. Keeps all the other animals in your house safe, and even you safe, too. Recently, there's been a bird flu outbreak in Arizona, where I live, at one of the zoos, and that's a problem, so now everything has to go into quarantine there as well. Like, keep it from spreading to people even. And I know of people who have had diseases within their fish tanks that can be transmittable to them. And it's a big, big problem. Quarantine's nice to know how to do. So we'll start off with plants. Alex, you want to kick us off? How to do plants?
Yeah, so plants are actually pretty simple and probably the easiest of all the ones we're going to go over today. Essentially, when you bring a new plant home from a box store or a garden or a nursery or anything like that, you're just going to want to keep it separate from your main collection, like in a separate room. You'll want to give it a good thorough look over and everything, see if you see any type of pests or any pest damage or stuff like that. If you do see any pests, then you might need to do some stuff like neem oil or... if it's mealybugs, you can use a Q-tip and rubbing alcohol to get them off. And some pests like thrips and things like that, you're going to have to use a systemic to get rid of them. I would recommend changing out the soil to new fresh soil that you have either mixed or you have, like, what's the word for it, sanitized or things like that for your plants. That way you know none of the soil from wherever it came from, which could have pests in it that you're not even thinking about, or also could just be not great soil, is now on the plant. So I recommend changing the soil, wiping down leaves, checking for pests, things like that, and just keep it in a separate room for probably about 3 weeks. And then once you see that there's no pest, no damage or anything like that, nothing that could get to your other plants, so no funguses or anything like that, then you can bring it into your main collection and it should be good.
Especially if you're keeping tropical plants, like vivarium plants and things like that, snails are a problem. One of my vivariums has snails, and actually today my other one's probably going to get snails because I took some cuttings out of that tank and I just tossed them straight into the other one. Without doing proper quarantine and everything. So I'm probably going to get snails in both of my tanks now, but I'm definitely keeping that out of my grow tent. Nothing from those tanks is going into the tent without a proper, like, dip in some alcohol or something before.
Yeah, snails are a pain.
Yeah, they're terrible to get rid of. Yeah. But, yeah, plants, in all honesty, guys, I don't really quarantine plants that come from, like, rusted nurseries. Recently, I pretty much only buy from private collectors or a couple private nurseries that I like. Nowadays, I'm pretty picky on my plants, so I don't really quarantine them too much, but I always give them a good once over and I just check visually before I add things in. Big box store stuff, if I get that, I definitely really look them over before doing anything and I treat as necessary. We'll go on to fish now, because that's really it for plants. Plants are pretty simple. For fish is where things get a little different. Fish, usually you're keeping multiple species in one aquarium, which can cause disease to spread faster. You add fish over time, so you have fish that have been sitting and non-exposed, and you're adding in new fish. So quarantine gets a little more important there. Again, I'm not going to say quarantine is 100% necessary, which is a little controversial. A lot of people are like, you have to quarantine for 6 weeks and treat with this and this and that. I'm like, no, I don't think necessary. But is it better safe than sorry? Probably. And should you know how to do it, if you need to, you should, for sure. Especially if you're going to get wild-caught animals. Those things, totally quarantine those. So what you want to do is have a tank set up. Just, it can be a smaller tank than the recommended minimum tank size. That's okay. Remember, this thing's only going to live here for a little bit of time. It's not the end of the world, right? Remember when you were quarantined from COVID, all that? You lived in a smaller area too. It wasn't great, but you were okay for the time being. Not permanent housing, right? And you want that tank to be pretty simple. Minimal decorations, minimal, like, everything. You don't want it to be an ultra high traffic area. Pretty bare minimum. I still do recommend having things like some live plants in there and a substrate, because studies have been showing that fish feel less stress when they're over top of substrates, even if they're not something that will burrow or sit directly on them. And stress is like the number one killer of fish. You can reduce that stress, the better. I say give them about 2-3 weeks minimum in quarantine. And if nothing pops up, no illnesses of any kind, you're totally good to go ahead and add them to your tank. If illnesses pop up, or something like a pufferfish that tend to come from the wild and they almost always have parasites, so you want to either preventative treat, or you see someone pop up and you do treat them, for the entire duration of that medication, and then start that 2 or 3 week timer, depending on what your preference is. And then if nothing happens, now add them to your main tank. Those for fresh and salt. Primarily wild caught too. If it's wild caught, quarantine becomes way more important.
Yeah. The only thing I would change is, instead of doing live plants in your quarantine tank, I would do like plastic plants, just because they're easy. You can then sanitize them and stuff. And also, a lot of live plants I've seen have problems when you're medicating. So like, if you're constantly medicating or like having to medicate or anything like that, it could possibly just kill the plants, from what I've seen. So I think doing like plastic plants would be a little bit better, because then you can also, once that round is done, before you put the next round of fish in there, you could take the plastic plants out and actually sanitize the plants and then put them back.
Yeah, that's totally fine too. I'm just a live plant advocate. I don't like fake plants in anything if I can avoid it at all. I avoid them like the plague, but that's my personal preference. I definitely see where you're coming from, and I'm not going to knock that at all.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Live is always better, but I just think like when it's in a quarantine thing, because the meds can also, like I said, meds killing live plants, then you might have to be constantly replacing them. That, and also you can sterilize the plastic ones.
Definitely, it can be a bit annoying, especially if you're going to treat with something like salt and all that.
Yeah, because then you can just kill all your plants.
Yeah, and guys, we're being vague about like specific treatments and diseases and things, because this isn't necessarily a disease episode. Those are going to have to be separate to like their own. It's going to be like common fish diseases and treatments. That's going to have to be a whole episode on its own. This is just how to kind of go about that quarantine process. You see someone pop up, treat it with proper medication, go on from there. Birds and mammals? I don't really know anything about that. I'm just going to say go to the vet. If the vet says they're good, they're probably good. That's like the only experience I have with those at all. That's pretty much it for those. Unless, Alex, you know anything different about birds and mammals, about how to quarantine those at all. Make sure they're healthy.
Yeah, just a vet visit, and like, don't let them around your other mammals and birds and stuff until they've had that vet visit and gotten that clean bill of health from the vet.
Yeah. I guess that one, yeah, physical quarantine, like keep them away, clean yourself, don't use the same tools, all that kind of stuff, until you are sure that they're healthy. I don't know any specific things to look for or how to set it up at all, really.
Yeah, the only example I have is like when my past two dogs that I found, like my dog Whiskey and the dog Chauncey that I found last year, both, one was tied up in a field, the other one was running the streets. And what we did was either kept them in the garage or just kept them in the kitchen, but completely separate from our dogs. like they had no contact. If we were playing with Whiskey or Chauncey, we would then go inside, wash our hands before we even go near the other dogs, things like that, until they went to the vet and got a clean bill of health. And Chauncey was the harder of the two because he had internal worms, and it took 4 rounds of dewormer to get rid of them. So it was just constantly keeping him separate and not allowing his waste, like his feces or anything like that, near the other dogs, not letting him do it in the yard with the other dogs. That's the only example I have. I've never worked with birds or anything like that, but I guess that's probably the best practice. You just go to the vet, get them a vet visit, and don't allow them to interact with your other animals, and making sure you're keeping practice of washing your hands, possibly even changing clothes. It's a little extreme, but depends on what they might have. And then going to see your other animals after you've done those things.
Yeah, that's do, you know, physical separation between the rest of your animals and the new one is definitely just the key, right? That's going to be the recurring theme for everything. Keep everything away until you know it's good. Reptiles. This one gets a little controversial almost, because my opinions are they break the rules a little bit, because I don't know. To me, it doesn't make sense, a lot of the practices that people do. And so that's how I think about it, and I'll tell you how I think about it. And I don't think it's wrong. I just think that some people are dramatic for no reason. So for me, unless you have a reptile room, if you have a reptile room where you have lots of other species in there, or even just two that are in close proximity with each other, like close enough that little mites could crawl over in between, or a tub system, which don't like, but people have them, I don't think quarantine is necessary, unless you're keeping with a group. But most reptiles assume you're not keeping with a group, because they're pretty much solitary for the most part, right? You're not going to have 4 snakes in one tank. That's quite rare. And so I don't think necessarily setting up a quarantine setup is all that necessary. I think that just those first few weeks, you should be really monitoring your animal and just really, really monitoring that weight. Are they eating? Are they going to the bathroom? Okay, and then when you first get them, do a good physical examination, check for mites and things like that. But I think you're pretty good. I know a lot of people still like to have that quarantine setup and then leave them in that quarantine setup for a few weeks and then move them into the main one, which I only really think is necessary if you're going to be keeping them with other animals that could potentially be contaminated, like in that same room. If you have a whole reptile room with 40 different snakes in there, probably, yeah, make sure that other snake is good. So you only have to treat one snake and not 40 for potential disease.
Yeah, I am part of the group that kind of just like, I mean, my room is, everything's pretty close. Like, that's why I do it to where I would actually set up a quarantine tank just so I could actually see the animal and, like, easily see their feces and if there's mites or anything like that separate from the room. Which, if you were wanting to do that, basically what I would suggest doing is setting up a tank. And it can even be the tank that you're wanting to put them in your room. But I would set it up just, like, white paper or paper towels. I wouldn't do newspaper because if it gets wet, the ink tends to bleed, but I would just do like a white paper or paper towels, and then do things like PVC, plastic plants, stuff like that, just so that they can still have those like PVC, like for branches and things like that, so they can still have climbing places, hiding places, and plastic plants for that too, and things like that. But those are really easy to sanitize, especially if they have some pathogen or they have mites or things like that. It's just a lot easier to sanitize things like glass, plastic, and just you can throw out the paper easily. So I would recommend just setting it up like that and keeping them in there for a couple of weeks before moving them into your room. Especially like Shaw was saying, if the tanks are close and things like that, because there is the chance of mites and things like that. And also there's a lot, I know with colubrids, there's things like crypto, which that is a very scary disease and can kill an entire collection in a blink of an eye. So it's just stuff you just want to see and like learn about these things, know these diseases that you might want to be looking for while at quarantining. If you need to take them, if you see anything that you're not sure, but it could possibly be something, but you don't know for sure, take it to a vet. Have them check it out. Vets will know that it's going to be pricey, especially with exotic animals. But it's better to spend that little bit to get that animal checked out and get a clean bill of health than to have to then take all of your animals to the vet because that animal had something and gave it to everything.
Yeah, and a lot of the, like, the reason I'm, not to say I'm against quarantine, but I'm like, yeah, you just put that animal straight into the tank, is because of how I do my setups, right? I've been transitioning from a lot less quantity of animals to quality. So I have less animals than I've ever had since I was like 7. But all my tanks are larger and better. So I don't have animals that are packed right next to each other anymore. So for me, like, I'm planning on getting a snake here in the next month or two. And that snake just isn't going to transmit disease unless I'm dirty. Unless I'm, like, using the same tongs to feed that snake, and then I go feed my lizard with it, with those same tongs, which I'm not going to do. At least, at the very least, until that snake gets a full clean bill of health from me. It's just not going to happen. It just, the chance is very, very, very low. Just as low, really, as if I were to set up a quarantine tank and then do it. If you have a full reptile room, it's probably worth it, especially if you're dealing with species that can be affected by something like crypto. Like, that is a problem. Make sure that those are separate in a way. And then just clean your tools, too, with reptiles. That's another thing that really cuts down on all that stuff, is clean your tools. If you're going to use the same pair of tongs, let's say you're going to feed 5 snakes, right? They're all going to eat frozen food. So you thaw all the food, and then they're all in one bowl or plate, wherever all that food is. Use the tongs, feed 1 snake, dip those in alcohol, clean them, sanitize them, and then feed snake number 2. Or even more ideal would be having a separate pair of tongs for each snake, which I think is a touch excessive. You can sanitize them just fine. But that's where I see, like, reptile quarantine can be okay, because it's similar to fish as well. Like, fish are in their own little contained tanks. If you have lids on all the tanks, so that way they're not splashing water directly into each other, they're enclosed. Fish from one tank just aren't going to give it to the fish in tank number 1, is not going to give disease to tank number 2, as long as there's no crossing over of water or anything. So don't use the same hose for water changes in the sick tank as you would the clean tank. Those should get their own separate things to ensure that it's biosecure and that disease stays contained in tank number 1. I think it's pretty easy to do with reptiles. So I think some people overreact with the quarantine on reptiles, and some people underreact, but I think overall people overreact and go to the extreme route instead of being chill.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I do think, like you were saying, that one of the big things is sanitizing, which is a good thing to even do, even your own, like, collection, like the ones you know are healthy and stuff, because there's certain species can have certain, I'm not going to get fully into depth of this because we would go down a whole rabbit hole. Like, certain species could be used to having certain bacteria inside of their gut or things like that, while other species it's deadly to, or certain species could be used to having these microbes on their body and it doesn't affect them, while the other ones it's very deadly to. It's just best to clean your stuff and sanitize some in between even your own animals. It's just a good practice, and then it keeps you in the muscle memory of sanitizing in between each animal, including new ones and things like that.
Definitely agree on that one. And it's what killed off so many people before modern medicine was invented. The North and South America had tons of people, full cities and intricate trade routes and things. A lot of it's been lost because the jungle ate all the cities. But Europeans came over, had disease that they were immune to, but all these people weren't. And then it spread all throughout. Same thing, the Black Death plague. This one came from Asia, and it took out Europe, right? So just disease that within the same species, some people had natural immunity to and some people didn't. And when it got transmitted over, first things that looked healthy were like, yeah, these people are totally healthy. They were cool. Why would we fear them? Turns out they weren't totally healthy. They were just immune to this disease. And then you were not, and so you got sick. So exactly how our vaccines work. We give you a little bit of it, so you're okay. Your body figures out how to fight it off, and then you're immune for a year or two or your whole life, depending on what they are. So I do get that one as well. Like, clean your stuff. When my corn snake Rocky passed away a few months ago, I instantly just sanitized all the tongs and everything that I've used for his tank. And then I let that tank sit completely empty, untouched, for up until last week. And then I took the wood that was in that tank, because I'm going to break that tank all the way down. It's a homemade tank that just not very good craftsmanship on it. It was my first one. I was like 14. And I baked all that wood in the oven and just sanitized it. So it was all just everything in there is dead. And then now all that wood, I feel totally safe putting in anything else. And I don't even think that snake had a disease. I think that he had genetic issues. He never reached full size despite regular feeding, and his body condition was always within the healthy range. He was never fat, never skinny, just nice and lean where you want him. And he just never grew to full size and had some genetic issues that I believe came from inbreeding. And I think it just caught up to him. He lived to be over 10 years old, which I wish it was longer, but that's not terrible. But I still acted as if he had a disease just in case.
Yeah, it's good to just have those practices and constantly do it.
Especially with me planning on getting another snake, I don't want any of that, because I added some of that wood to the new tank, because I don't want that to potentially transmit at all. That would be terrible. Okay, so it's like, all right, we're going to sterilize all of this.
Yeah, it's just good practices to keep good husbandry practices and stuff. And I mean, to wrap it up, basically, just you're going to want to keep your animal probably separate from the rest. Most of the time, most people for all species recommend at least 3 weeks. Just because that gives it about a little under a month, but it gives you enough time to, if anything's going to pop up, it probably will pop up in that time. Or it'll grow to where it's at least noticeable and things like that. And essentially just clean your tools, clean your enclosures, wash your hands, follow biosecurity measures, essentially, so that you're not spreading pathogens or other things from one animal to the other. And most of the time, it will turn out well. And if it's an animal like a mammal, bird, or reptile, amphibian, whatever, if any of those are showing sign of sickness, take them to the vet. Have them check them out. And then they can do testing and things like that and find out exactly what they have. It's not good to guess with those kinds of animals, because they can be a lot, their diseases and stuff are a lot more complex than things like plants or fish diseases.
Reptiles are really, really good at not dying. So I say this one about animals. There's animals that are really, really good at not dying, and there are animals that are really good at dying. And really what I mean by that is there's species that are more sensitive and less sensitive. like goldfish, for instance, goldfish can be kept in terrible conditions and are totally fine. Like, they're sick. They're still not healthy, but that sucker's not going to die. It will keep on living forever, and even if it's just terribly unhealthy. But like a discus fish, that thing's really good at dying. It gets stressed out. You look at it funny, it dies. That's a bit dramatic, but they are considered the hardest freshwater fish to keep, which I disagree with, even though I've never kept discus. I just, other reasons why I disagree, but they're pretty sensitive. And reptiles in general are really, really good at not dying. They are tough. They won't let you know that they're sick until the 10 minutes before they die.
Yeah, they're very good at not only not dying, but very good at not showing that they're dying. Which is part of why I'd recommend just take it to the vet to start off. Don't wait till they're showing signs. Because a lot of times with reptiles, if they're showing signs of not looking good, they're going to die very soon. Not always, obviously, not in all cases.
Yeah, there's a few exceptions, like respiratory infections, usually you know about. Parasites, usually you know about. But yeah, a lot of reptile issues that you won't even know.
You'll be like,
oh, that's weird. They didn't eat the past 2 times I offered food, and then I showed up and they're dead.
Yeah, or it'll be like there was a snake at my work that we've had for several years and acted normal, eating normal, everything. One day they came to work and it was lifeless at the bottom of the tank. And they're like, what? And we figured it was an old snake is why it passed. But there was not a sign. It wasn't acting sluggish. It wasn't acting any unusual way than it normally does. It was eating just like normal, drinking like normal. And it just passed away. I mean, reptiles are very good at hiding illness.
Yeah, exactly what happened with Rocky. I hadn't seen him for like 2 days, but I just assumed he was under his water bowl because that's his water. He would hang out under. That wasn't uncommon. That was a thing that would happen. And I made him food. I had it fully defrosted, opened the tank. And normally when I open the tank and he knows food's coming, he jumps out, and I'm like, he didn't jump out. That's weird. So I like jingled the glass a little bit because normally that gets him to come out. He feels those vibrations and he's like, oh, okay, food. He doesn't move. And so I'm like, okay, that's weird. And I pick up his water bowl, and sure enough, he was underneath of it. He had just passed away. And I was like, what? I saw him 3 days ago and he was just fine. He appeared just fine, but clearly they're hiding it. So reptiles are really good at hiding those diseases. Potentially even invest in a microscope, because then you can do stool samples on your own. And they're not, there is a learning curve to using a microscope, but they're not that hard. And there is a learning curve to finding and identifying different types of parasites and things like that, but it's not that hard. You have a reference picture, you can identify it. You just got to put a little effort into it, be okay with messing up a few times, but they're not terribly hard. They're cool. I like microscopes. I would like to get myself a nice one.
Yeah, I mean that, and also, even if you can't identify what it is, if you see things in their stool, take it to the vet. Because then you know, okay, time to go to the vet.
Yeah. Or ask some other resources too. Like there's tons of online resources and forums and things that are more than willing to help out.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not gonna name names here because I don't want to accidentally flood the guy, but there's a guy here who has nice facilities and things, and he offers to help anybody here in, like, local to come over, and he'll help with all sorts of things, like assist feeding, and he has microscopes and all that, and he'll help identify parasites and all that for people. And there's guys like that all around. You just gotta find them. In general, people who keep reptiles look out for other people who keep reptiles because they like animals, so they value, you know, if they can help out an animal, they will. So you can find guys like that who will help teach you how to do all that little specific stuff.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, everybody's going to recommend take you to the vet. But that's kind of legalese advice. Like, yeah, of course, if I don't know, I'm going to say take you to the vet. But you can do some diagnosis on your own. Be like, okay, is this a vet-level issue, or is this an easily treatable at-home issue? Right? Just like you. I'm going to recommend if you're sick, you go to the doctor. But you know when you have just a little cold versus when you're sick for real and need to go to the doctor. You know when you just stub your toe, you don't need to go to the doctor. But you know when you full-on break your toe and, all right, maybe it's time to go to the doctor.
Yeah, just right? Don't be like my buddy who had strep, the flu, and an ear infection all in the same day and then drove himself to the doctor to find that out. And they're like, you work today? And he's like, yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah, I might do similar things to that too. But so to put a wrap on that one, quarantine, it is nice. Do it. Keep your new animals away from your existing animals until they get a clean bill of health. However you bill that clean bill of health, that's up to some interpretation, up to you personally a bit too. Different people have their different methods, but in general, the main theme to follow is keep them away until you confirm that they're healthy. If that means you keep them separate for several weeks, do that. If it means you pre-treat with medicine, that's not my thing, but if it's your thing, hey, go for it. If you, whatever you need to do, make sure that happens and keep all of your animals and plants safe and you don't have to deal with it later.
Yeah, I mean, rather be safe than sorry when it comes to quarantine. Just like we've talked about, you could buy a $5 animal and then all of a sudden every single animal in your collection is dead because you can't quarantine it. Not that we're saying there's any less value to a $5 animal than a $50 animal, but at the same time, it's just safe. Rather be safe than sorry. You'd rather quarantine just about everything.
And in fish, it'll happen a lot. You'll get one new fish, and people have 5-6 tanks, and then they transmit that disease to 5 or 6 more tank of their tanks. And they're bigger tanks, right? They're display tanks, so they're 20 to 400 gallons rather than like a 5-gallon quarantine tank. Just in medicine costs, man, it costs a lot more to medicate 1,000 gallons of water than it does 10.
Yeah. At that point, you're just using whole bottles.
Yeah. All right. So we'll put a wrap on that one. If you made it this far, leave a comment. You want to know who's here? Just comment, like, made it to the end. I don't know. Just let me know. Do something that I know that you made it this far.
I'm at QT.
Yeah. Good one. All right. And then we will see you guys next week for a new episode. Christmas special is going to be coming up here soon. I'll figure out something cool for that.
Yes, we will. See you guys later. Follow us on all social medias. If you want to join the community, join the Discord. We're starting to post more on TikTok, Instagram Shorts, and our Reels, and then YouTube Shorts. So check those out as well. We will see y'all next week.